Very different ways one can look at theory of turbulence. And during past several weeks we've been explained, and we saw it clearly, say, from John's talks. There are real reasons for the lack of real theory of, say, hydrodynamic turbulence. We do not understand Navier-Stokes equation well enough. On the other hand, turbulence itself might be looked at in a wider context. In a sense, so one can think of turbulence as a phenomenon of non-equilibrium statistical physics. And I think I won't lie if I say that Robert Christian was the first who started advocating this point of view. In other words, if the hydrodynamic turbulence from the point of view of non-equilibrium statistical mechanics is very difficult, very hard, but there are lots of other models which are simpler, yet they exhibit the variety of phenomena which are common for all existing theories of turbulence. So, and we've seen these great successes in models, simple models which exhibit turbulent behavior, such as model of passive scalar. So we've seen some advances in the theory of turbulence from this viewpoint. So let's take simpler models which have some characteristic turbulence behavior. So we have fluxes of some quantities from large scale to small scale, or the other way around. And let's see how the how these systems behave, say, in the limit of large Reynolds numbers. And this is exactly... So, to whom?
To Gurdjieff, I guess. The idea goes back to Gurdjieff. Make a model and understand all the non-equilibrium.
Right, but what I'm basically saying, that it was Christian himself who started looking at the systems from the point of view of statistical physics. So, unless I'm not mistaken, yeah.
The original Berger's paper was precisely
Yes, of course.
The shocks and the...
Right, yes. Yes. Well, this is definitely true, and I should... Well, yes, that's right. I should have mentioned Berger's myself. So, in any case, so we've seen this great advances in passive scalar due to Grisha and his group and Gavetsky, Kupianin. So, and this is exactly the approach which I will take, talking about diffusion-limited aggregation. So, what is the class of models one can look at and still claim that he or she is doing turbulence? Let's look at statistical non-equilibrium statistical mechanics. Let's study fluctuations around, let's suppose that we have some statistical system which has an non-equilibrium steady state. So you have, for example, a good example is given by, say, weak turbulence. So you have a nonlinear Schrödinger equation, you pump energy into small scale, and it flows to so you it's the other way around. So you pump energy into large scale, it flows to small scale, there's flux of particles, so there is, and you can organize by this pumping a steady state. So, and this is a non-equilibrium steady state. So there is no equipartition of integrals of motion which determine the system due to non-zero flux of quantity. Okay. So, and one can look at the systems and study them from the point of view of statistical mechanics. And today I am going to talk about a system which falls into this class, and this is the problem of diffusion-limited aggregation. So, and this is what we have. Suppose that, so, we have a lattice. It is a d-dimensional lattice. And we have particles diffusing on this lattice. And we assign a charge Q. Sorry for this long introduction. So we assign charge Q to each particle. Okay? So, and our particles diffuse in space. And when they happen to be on the same side, then with some probability lambda, they can coagulate and create another point particle of the charge, which is the sum of charges. So this diffusion-limited point particle aggregation is exactly the model I'm going to talk about. So why is this, why this model is of any relevance to turbulence? So in two words, it is very simple. So if we have, say, an influx of particles with small masses, then the steady state which appears as a result is a non-equilibrium steady state. There is a constant flux of masses to larger, to greater masses because particles keep coagulating all the time. Okay? So, and if we neglect all the fluctuations, and I will show it explicitly later, then the dynamics, say, of average density in mass and coordinate space will be described by kinetic equations, Molkowski equations. But this doesn't take into account the fluctuations, which ultimately lead to intermittency. So the interesting question which we are asking ourselves within turbulence. So, and the question is, so what, how to describe the system when fluctuations dominate, when mean field theory description doesn't work anymore. Okay? Unfortunately, there are general methods in statistical field theory which can be applied to exactly the same problem. So, again, I would like to stress the similarity between, say, this problem and the problem of weak turbulence. So, when in weak turbulence, when you can, say, neglect fluctuations, and, of course, I'm doing weak turbulence being in the same department as Sergei. So, I'm interested in weak turbulence. So, in weak turbulence, the situation is very similar. So, if you have, so, the statistics of different quantities, for example, average density or density-density correlation functions, are described by means of kinetic equations. And those, again, appear when one can neglect fluctuations. But what's happening when fluctuations become important? So, again, we have a kinetic equation which breaks down when fluctuations are important, and what shall we do then? So, and the technique which I'm going to explain is very powerful. So in principle, one can try to approach the model, so one can approach the yes, well, I mean, so this, I just want to demonstrate that the problem is very difficult, that the problem of accounting for fluctuations is very difficult, but that in the end, I hope to convince you that there are techniques in this world which can be used to tackle these difficult problems.
Why is Charlie's name in there three times?
Well, because he's...
Because four BRLs on the subject. So it should be in there four times.
Yes, well, I mean, I mentioned people not by each and every paper, but by subjects that they have done. So, but you're right, Charlie's contribution to the subject is fundamental indeed. So, if we talk about diffusion-limited aggregation, so it basically started at the turn of the last or this century, depending on how you think of it, by the work of Smoluchowski, so who basically suggested an equation which describes the kinetics of coagulating particles and wrote down the equation which has been subsequently named after him. So, and amazingly enough, for almost, for about 70 years, most of the studies were concentrated around Smoluchowski equation. So people were trying to describe the dynamics of, say, coagulating droplets using Smoluchowski equation and adjusting kernels of Smoluchowski equation in such a way that reasonable fit with experiments is obtained. So, but And these are really influential guys who did a lot of work on Smoluchowski equation, extracting physical information from it. And Ernst also wrote an extensive review on applications of Smoluchowski equation. But since the 80s, people started asking themselves questions. So how good is Smoluchowski? Suppose that we've started with some initial conditions which for a while are well described by means of a Smoluchowski equation. So will fluctuations eventually kick in and destroy mean field of Smoluchowski description? Will fluctuations alter the dynamics? So, and first evidence that this does indeed happen came from this early work by King and Redner, who did numerics of on the model of the kind which I described in dimensions 1 and 2. And what they observed was that in these two cases, so in d equal to 1, you saw in the limit of large times a behavior which was completely different from the one predicted by Smoluchowski equation. And in d equal to 2, exponents of given by Smoluchowski equation, so let's say we are talking what kind of exponent? Suppose that we are talking about total density of clusters. So, and Smoluchowski prediction is that at large times it behaves like t to the power minus 1. And what King and Fredner did, so, and provided a heuristical explanations for their results, was this. So at large time, so these are results for time to infinity, that at large time you have 1 over square root of t, alpha equal to 1/2 in Smoluchowski equation, and when dimension is equal to 2, then Smoluchowski answers hold up to a logarithmic correction. Okay? So, and they also provided some heuristics. So, immediately, then again, additional results showed also that in dimensions which are greater than 2, Smoluchowski equation describes large time asymptotics accurately. So immediately dimension equal to 2 was coined as critical dimension by analogy with theory of critical phenomenon. And people started looking at started computing critical dimensions in different for different kernels. Basically, what they were doing, they were computing corrections to mean field theory behavior. So they were still doing perturbation theory around classical solutions, and they observed when these corrections were blowing up, thus destroying the leading term given by mean field theory. So, and so this is basically the story of the 80s. So in early so for most of reasonable kernels, critical dimension was computed. It happened to depend on the kernel. So for constant kernels, Ben Avraham confirmed logarithmic corrections again numerically and heuristically. So, and a large body of exact solutions in one dimension in the limit when the coupling constant equal to infinity appeared. So infinite limit, infinite coupling constant limit means that whenever particles meet on the same side, they calculate. In this case, in one dimension, you can expect the simplification of the model. Still, highly non-trivial probabilistic computation led to exact results. So, and so there's been also a body of rigorous mathematics work on justification of Smoluchowski equation. What are the exact conditions when Smoluchowski equation can be applied? So, in parallel, so a huge amount of very important research was happening for chemical reactions. So. So, and the simplest way to introduce this model is to say this. Suppose that we still have our particles, but we do not forget about the, but we forget about the charge. We just suppose, we're just interested in total number of particles. Then this reaction, which describes coagulation, is just converted to this one. Okay? So, and this simply cases were studied extensively. Again, Charlie participated actively. So, there's been early work by Tusen, Vilcek, Ovchinnikov, and Zeldovich on two species reactions when coupling constant is less than infinity and in dimensions greater than 4 due to certain. So they studied the effects of additional integrals of motion which happen in this system.
By the way, Oleg Joel Leibowitz doesn't have an I in his name.
Leibowitz, yes, yeah, yeah, sorry. Yeah, I just made it with
Leibowitz.
We might also point out that the Frisch that appears in the middle column.
Yes.
Not the Frisch to whom.
It's not Uriel.
No.
It's Sally Frisch, yes. I should have added the initial.
Harry Frisch.
Okay, so, and in parallel, a very important work has been happening in field theory. Namely, in 76, Doi worked out a general scheme, which we will follow closely in what follows, of mapping this probabilistic particle system into field theory. Basically, he would take master equation which describes the evolution of probability function on some large probability space. So, and the evolution is determined exactly by particle dynamics, coagulations and diffusion in our case, and map it into a sort of a Schrödinger equation, and then study the Schrödinger equation by field theoretical methods. So it has been taken further by Pilecki in the middle of 80s. So in two papers, he carried out a basic renormalization group analysis of the A plus A to A model and got results which agreed with exact computations in D equal to 1 and explicitly which were explicitly exhibiting these logarithmic corrections in D equal to 2. So, and finally, in the series of papers, Lee and Cardi, they provided a systematic renormalization group treatment of these reactions and also reaction of this type. Okay? So, and main message from these studies when and RG studies is this. So if we are sitting in dimension less than critical, we start for small times, the dynamics is well described by mean field equations, in this case, Smoluchowski equations. But as time grows, a crossover to fluctuation-dominated regime occurs. So there, mean field theory description doesn't work. So there we expect all the goodies which come with the intermittency. So, and it is very natural. So, and it is actually very natural to apply this, therefore it is very natural to apply this ideology and technology to models which have direct relevance to turbulence, namely to models which have some non-equilibrium steady or quasi-steady states, in other words, steady states which decay in self-similar manner, and study the effects of fluctuations on those. Okay? So, and so one can actually marry all these three lines of development in an attempt to carry out a systematic renormalization group study of the coagulation. So, and this is exactly what I'm going to talk about today. So, my aim is actually very modest. I am just trying to bring your attention to the technology which has been used in simple reactions like A plus A to A by Lee and Cardi and try to persuade you that this kind of technology can actually be used in turbulent problems. so of the sort which I described. So, and this is the exact formulation of the model. So it is convenient for Restart to think of particles which move in D plus one dimensional, on a D plus one dimensional lattice, and along horizontal hyperplane will be measuring space position of the particle, and charge will be an additional coordinate measured in vertical direction. So, and the dynamics of our particle system is consists of two ingredients. First, if we have a particle sitting at a given point of space, then with some probability d per time, our particle can hop to the right, to the nearest neighbor, to the right or to the left. In d dimensions, we're talking about a hop to any nearest neighbor. If we have two particles sitting at the same point of space, which have different charges, then with some probability lambda, they can coagulate and create a particle which has which sits at the same point of space, but the charge of it is equal to the sum of charges. So, and mathematically, we introduce, so we describe the evolution of our system by introducing first the space of microstate. So if we specify a number of particles sitting at each point of our lattice, we specify, we know the microstate of our system, right? So, and this microstate is therefore determined by a huge vector, components of which are labeled by points of particles, and entries are non-negative integers. Just each entry is an occupation number. And second step, if we want a probabilistic description of the system, we introduce a probability probability distribution function, measure on the space omega, which gives, so Pn of t gives the probability of a given microstate at the moment of time t.
So Z2 there, so are you only going to be concerned with two dimensions?
No, D plus one. So it's just, so I think I was trying to make notation simpler, but the simplicity is the replacement of D with two. So this is exactly what are we going to talk about. And what about, so if we have this probability distribution function, so what are the basic properties? If we sum our P of all possible microstates, we must get one. So it is normalized. And we can now compute all sorts of averages. For example, we can compute an average number of particles sitting on a given point of a lattice. In other words, we can compute the average number of particles having this coordinate and this charge. So, and just we have to take this weighted sum and all sorts of averages. This way you can average any function of on a microstate. You just integrate it against this probability measure. Now, how does the probability distribution evolve in time? Well, we can write down an evolution equation exactly in the same way we derive Boltzmann equation, even though we are not doing any approximations on the way. So it can actually, so our probability distribution function changes due to particles coagulation, ST lambda of P term here, and it also changes due to the fact that particles diffuse around. So, and it is actually possible, it is very easy to write down an explicit expression for the probability distribution, but this expression is far too complicated. Okay, so I started writing down. So this is, for example, the contribution to the collision integral due to particles aggregations. So you have two particles, say lambda gives us the point in space, beta and beta prime are charges. So, and what is the process which contributes to the increase of Pn of t. So, well, you can have one additional particle at site alpha beta. You can have one additional particle at site alpha beta prime with probability lambda. They coagulate and create a lagging particle at the site alpha beta plus beta prime. And this is just a combinatorial factor. Okay, so it's exactly like in a derivation of collision integral. So, and it has plenty of terms. I want only to make two remarks about this master equation. So it is first order in time, and it is linear in T. Okay. So it is, therefore, of a sort of a Schrödinger equation, or rather diffusion equation. Okay. So, and how to see it explicitly? Well, we have to develop a very simple operator formalism. So let's denote a microstate without any particles at all with this cat vector, vacuum vector, as they refer to it in physics. So, and let's devise two operators. So this operator AE creates a particle at the site E of our D plus one dimensional lattice. And A dagger And A dagger is an operator which annihilates a particle. So, and so these operators, they satisfy these commutation relations, which are very natural commutation relations if you think of how these vectors, how these operators act on the space. Just they can be confirmed from their very definition. Now, if we have any microstate with a given number of particles on each side, can be created by acting by the action of the given combination of creation operators on the vacuum vector. Okay, so we just create as many particles as each side which we want. And then we introduce what's called a state vector, so which carries exactly the same amount of information about the system as this probability measure does. So we...
Yes. So those operators are bosons.
Yes, they're
so
bosons.
What would be a what would be a statistical problem leading to fermions?
Well, yes. So this, but you're absolutely right. This is a formalism for bosonic particles. In case of, basically, the statement is that if, for example, you have an annihilation procedure, then this counter-argument which Grisha gave doesn't work, and you can have fermions which undergo this reaction. So, and it happens so that in this case, it doesn't really matter whether you use fermionic or bosonic operators, simply because in the limit of small density, when the probability of having two particles at each site is very small. So, but you're right, it is possible to develop fermionic representation for this.
You can do that by just changing the definition of the Poisson bracket?
Yes.
And, a related question. There is also SO2 algebra, right? Skin one.
So,
another possibility. Can you kind of have a sensible statistical problem?
I think, if I understand your question correctly, you suggest the following. So let's equip our particles with an internal degree of freedom, say spin 1/2. So, and therefore we can have different, so our particles at each side can have different spins. And how they aggregate?
Well, not precisely. So I mean, the bosonic statistics is not bound. I mean, there is an infinite number of bosons. And if the state.
Yes.
And here it means that your particles can, it is an annihilation, right? But they can creation, maybe up to infinity.
Yes, yes, you
and
can
if
have.
You bound,
oh, it's
for. Right?
Yes, it's probably the closest analog would be fractional statistics. And when quantum analogs of SU2, as you understand, so here I am considering the simplest model.
The answer is
no.
Playing this kind of game.
No, not that I know of.
Mm-hmm.
I've been asked a question. So, don't ask me about quantum graphs. that's a very good remark. I will remember to comment on it. So now, the bottom line is that if you introduce a state vector, then the master equation for the probability density will be mapped into a Schrödinger equation for diffusion equation for the probability. And so this is the operator context of this operator, and we see this is very simple, really. We annihilate particle at site E, and then we create another particle which is to the left or to the right from our original particle. So this is the diffusive part. So, and intuitively, this piece is also very clear. So we annihilate two particles which sit at the same point in space and have charges beta and beta prime, and instead we create a new particle which has the same coordinate but the charge is equal to the sum of charges. Okay? So, and these extra terms, they really appear naturally. These terms come from the minus part of collision integral, so which describe the processes which ruin the given microstate, and in a sense they are necessary by conservation of probability.
I like one more question. Mm-hmm. How would you add to this, you know, physics, chemistry, whatever, three particle process?
So, very good. Suppose that you have several particles, and this is exactly the problem which hasn't treated by means of RG. Yeah. So suppose that you have this reaction. Okay. Then you must have three particles to sit on one side, so that they create a new one. Okay, and then it corresponds to this term in the effective Hamiltonian. So if you don't have three particles on this given side, then this term is just zero. So, and
one question. Mm-hmm. What is formal is there corresponds to the fact that reaction is going both directions, one way or another way?
It doesn't go.
Symmetry, right?
Both is symmetry. In this case, it's, this aggregation is irreversible.
But would you, what would be if it were
the conjugate, just a permission conjugate?
Yes, which is exactly time reversible.
So this Hamiltonian which you have is not
It isn't. Yes, so you're absolutely right. So answering your question, so I have this term in my Hamiltonian, but I don't have this term. Okay. So, and if we want to average, then it is more or less easy to do it. So if we have any function on a microstate, we can assign an operator to it. So all arguments n will replace with operator n, which is an operator of number of particles on a given side. So, and then one can easily prove that right-hand side is identically equal to the left-hand side. So we've constructed some formalism. We basically mapped our representation, our original problem, into a problem of some complicated Schrödinger equation, of solving some complicated Schrödinger equation. So what my first remark is that there is nothing quantum in this formalism, even though it is probably understood by everyone. So we had some probabilistic model. There is no Planck constant in the newly constructed Hamiltonian. It is just we are doing statistical physics. Everything is classical. So, and my second remark is about the advantage. What is the advantage? The advantage is that we can write down exact formal expressions for the objects of interest in terms of path integral. So if we have a solution to Schrödinger equation, if we have Schrödinger equation, then solutions are formally given by path integrals. And then we can analyze this. We can use methods developed in quantum field theory to analyze this path integrals, to analyze these solutions. So in particular, and we will see that perturbative analysis of this problem gives exactly the small force. So this is what we're going to do, and we will see that perturbative analysis of simple perturbative analysis of these relevant path integrals will provide us with a connection to Smoluchowski equation. Renormalized perturbation theory will give us large time asymptotics when Smoluchowski equation, Smoluchowski's equation description breaks down. So, and I will.
Can you
tell us what will be correction? Sure, yes. I will actually go to it right now, so let me switch off the. So after some formal manipulations with path integrals, we arrive at the following picture. So if, for example, we're interested in average density, which is especially uniform, but it does depend on the total charge, then the expression will be in terms of path integrals given by this representation. So we have here phi of x, q, t, and here we have some effective action which depends on phi star and phi. And here we will have a term which is due to initial conditions. So here we have phi star, some n naught of q, initial distribution of density which is assumed to be especially uniform, and integral over q's and dxq. And this effective action so is a very simple expression. So we have a term which appears as a result of manipulations with path integrals, d phi. So this is a kinetic term which just describes the diffusion of our particles. So, and then we have an interaction term which consists of several pieces. So we have an integral. Yes, this integral is with respect to dx, dt, dq, d-dimensional space. So here we have dq, dq prime, and we have several terms, q plus q prime, phi q prime, plus terms of this sort, q, phi, heat prime minus, so, well, actually I will not follow. C1, C2, and C3 are just numbers, and here we have C star Q, C of Q prime, C of Q, and C of Q prime. Okay, so yes, well, let's now look at this action closely, and mostly I will just make simple remarks about this action and move to the results. So this field theory can be studied effectively. So my first statement. Yes, it is a non-conservation of Q. Yes, it is of the same sort.
Ah, it's only one conjugate, yeah.
Yes. No. Here we have...
Okay. So only second term.
Only second, yes, and this is exactly the loss of Q, loss of mass due to sweeping from other particles. So here is what is my statement. So this is some complicated action function. So we have some complicated field theory. So first statement. One can rescale the fields phi and phi star. First of all, suppose that we're interested now in small reaction rates. Lambda naught is small. Okay? So we cannot really say that lambda naught is small because it has a non-trivial physical dimension. What is the real coupling constant of the theory? So this can be obtained just from dimensional arguments. These fields, so T, good, T is here. So T, we have an integration from 0 to T. So we can rescale our time to 1. We can rescale our fields. So at some point, I think Charlie will recognize that what he and Freeman were doing was actually a randomization group. So, and we can also rescale fields in such a way that no dependence on D, T, and lambda naught will be left in the action. So, and e to the power minus s of phi will be e to the power minus g effective squared s of these reduced fields, where what is, where g effective is our real coupling constant. And it is given by lambda naught T, which has the dimension of space to the power d, divided by dt square root, and here we take power 1 over d. So, okay, this is the diffusive length. So, this is, so to say, reaction capture length. So, and the condition that this coupling constant is small tells us that diffusion is not important. Okay? So that particles mostly react with their nearest neighbors rather than with some other particles to which you have to diffuse for a long time to get. So, and if this is so, if this condition, so now, one remark.
First of all, you can read off the critical dimension.
Yes.
So in D is 2, is that a T dependent?
Yes.
That's the critical dimension. Yes. You can read it on.
Yes. 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 So, no, it means that I'm not alone yet. So, this G effective behaves as T to the power 1 over D minus 1 half, or t to the power 2 minus d over 2d. Conclusion. If our dimension is less than 2, then g effective will go to plus infinity when time goes to infinity. It doesn't matter how small is lambda naught on the outset. Diffusion will always become important at later times. So if d is greater than 2, Then, when time goes to infinity, this coupling constant goes to zero, meaning that perturbation theory or mean field theory will govern the behavior of the theory at late times. And d equal to 2 is, as has been announced by John already, is a critical dimension. It's a borderline between these two. Okay? So, this simple dimensional analysis of this complicated looking theory gives, so makes it possible to conclude d less than 2, small time behavior might be described by mean field theory, but large time asymptotics is fluctuation dominated. So, in case when d is greater than 2, then on the large time asymptotics is governed by perturbation theory, and we don't really know much about what's happening at small times.
What is the critical dimension for many particle processes?
So, for many particle processes, it is something like 2 and minus 1. For 3, 1 is, so 1 has logarithmic corrections in d equal to 1 have been obtained. Exactly.
So the condition is getting better and better.
Yes. It is better and better. Well, simply because, you see, diffusion becomes important in lower dimensions due to recurrency properties of random warps. But if you are sitting, but if you have to meet lots of particles to annihilate each other, the probability of it still is very low, recurrency or not. Okay? So, and now, what is the relation to Smoluchowski? Well, now it is very simple. So, if lambda naught is small enough, so if this g, if we are not looking at large time asymptotics, so that this the coupling constant is small, we can compute our density using stationary phase. We can start looking for critical points of our functional. And what is the equation which governs this critical point? It can be easily read off from here, and it says, so here, this is what we are going to average. Phi, therefore, behaves exactly as the solution of the critical equation, and we have this. So, an integral, so here we have lambda naught, d q prime, phi q minus q prime, phi q prime, minus an integral d q prime, phi of q prime, multiplied by phi of q. And this is Smoluchowski equation. Okay, so, in other words, mean field theory, or this perturbation theory, it does exactly correspond to the solutions of Smoluchowski equation. And if in particular we are interested in total number of particles, then an integral over dq of phi behaves as 1 over t. Actually, it behaves as 1 over lambda naught t. And this is an exact solution. So this is a simple equation. It can be solved. So, and total number of particles, actually, total number of, the dynamics of total number of particles in this theory is governed exactly by this process. So this is a standard mean field result which can be obtained from rate equations from this theory. So, and now we can make an educated interpretation of this condition. So, if this is density, then what's written here is average distance between particles. Okay? And we are saying that this is small when average distance between particles is much less than the diffusion length. So our particle doesn't have to diffuse far away in order to react. So, correlation length, which is determined exactly by this distance, is small. That's why I keep referring to this approximation as mean field approximation. It is mean field approximation in a standard sense. So correlation length can be disregarded, chain of Schwinger-Dyson equations can be closed, and Smoluchowski equation can be obtained. What is happening at large times? So, in order to understand it, we just... Yes?
This formulation is the field theory, but you also can field theory because you have infinite number of particles. But you can also write it as just bus integrals. Finite number of particles.
Well, it is. So, you see, I did something on the way here. So I took a continuous limit.
Right, but let me ask a question.
Yes.
So certainly you can do it with a finite number of particles. You can as a path integral, okay? And then in a path integral, you basically...
But this is a path integral, so you see it. So this is a path integral.
Instead of fields living in time and space,
yes.
You might have only fields which live on time.
Yes.
But instead, there's a replacement concept. You should have many of them.
Yes.
The number of particles is how many.
Yes. But you don't have to, you count not the total number of particles, but total number of degrees of freedom. So if you are right, so you can write it as quantum mechanics. So here you will have integration with respect to time and summation over all over the space of microstate. If this is finite dimensional, then you are back in the situation.
So your object of Smoluchowski, your object is two particles, right? Or even one particle, actually one particle.
Mm-hmm.
And does it mean that Smoluchowski is correct if you can forget about many particles and just write everything as the quantum mechanics for two particles?
Oh, I see. I see what you are saying. Yes. Suppose
turbulence relation, right? So this is about the
dissipative anomaly. Suppose that you have only two particles, but then I think you are right, because three-point correlation functions will vanish, and you get some exact closure, something like that, yes. So I'm not 100% sure, but I think that I flavor something correct in what you suggest.
By the way, this is a language for Lodi Lebedev used for his two-dimensional vertexes.
Oh, great.
And he has
been citing this section. Very good. Okay. So then I will actually have to skip other 70 pages of computations and move to...
No, actually, we would like to see those.
Well, I'll make an exception for you. So I'll see you tonight. So, in any case... So
what you're supposed to say, that ends the first half of my talk.
Yes. So now I will just explain in two words why actually this field theory is so simple. So if we are going to do perturbation theory when lambda naught is small, then we've got to write a set of Feynman diagrams for it. And what are these Feynman diagrams? So we have a propagator, we have particles which merge, and when they merge, their masses or their charges add. And we have another diagram which comes from fourth order term. There is one more third order diagram, it isn't important. So we have Q1, Q2, we have Q2, Q1. And this is it. So, and now we start expanding all our quantities in powers of lambda, meaning that we write down a set of all Feynman diagrams for each quantity. What are Feynman diagrams of this sort which can be written for this quantity? There are none. Because the number of lines as we go along the time direction, which is supposed to run from right to left, so... It's supposed to to not increase. Therefore, if we started with one line, we've added with one line. So propagator doesn't get renormalized. Diffusion constant doesn't get renormalized. So what about this diagram? And this is the main remark by Pelletier. So it is renormalized.
Which would be the effective reaction constant.
Absolutely.
The
renormalized reaction constant. So which goes like this. So there are no other diagrams which can renormalize the coupling constant. And this diagram is being renormalized exactly in the same manner.
So, and it's a geometric series?
It's a geometric series. It can be summed up. It can be summed up. We get lambda r. Okay? So we have to... and we have a effective coupling constant, and it is exact. So from it, we can write down a beta function. So we make these objects dimensionless according to this definition, and we compute beta function, which is mu d beta over d mu, where mu is a subtraction point which has been used to determine.
Or t or lambda, not beta.
So, yeah, I...
You're a derivative of not differentiating beta.
I am different. No, I'm not. You are right. So from this G effective, we can go to G renormalized, because now we know renormalized coupling constant. Mu is the subtraction point, or actually it is some time at which, some reference time at which we've computed this coupling constant. And we can compute the beta function. And this beta function is exact. And what is the behavior of this beta function? So if D is greater than 2, it has only trivial fixed point. This exactly corresponds to mean field theory being applicable at large times. When d is equal to 2, it has only one critical point, but its derivative is also 0 at 0. So here we have at large time mean field. Here we have mean field modular logarithmic corrections. And in d less than 2, it has some stable non-trivial fixed point. And the point of renormalization group is actually to show, and this can be shown here explicitly, that this critical point is non-stable. This is stable, so large time evolution is described by non-trivial fixed point. And then standard technique of epsilon expansion around critical dimension produces the following results. So suppose that we are interested in phi of q dq, total density. So it behaves as 1 over square root of t, with a being a t-dependent amplitude. T-independent amplitude, that more or less it is universal. It doesn't depend on the initial density as well. So, and by the way, this is the diagram which exactly has been discussed in this Charles paper, but he didn't know about that. So what is the meaning of this diagram? It means that our particles haven't interacted in the past. They've been around each other many, many times, because in d equal to 1, random walks are recurrent. But they haven't reacted. That makes them strongly correlated. So in other words, when time goes to infinity, the effective coupling of this between these two particles also goes to infinity. It means that at infinity, they will react at infinite rates. That's exactly your argument. And this is exactly what you obtain by summing all this loop diagram. So, and mean field prediction, as you remember, is 1 over t. And the amplitude is not universal. It depends on the coupling constant. So, and this is the answer for d equal to 1. So, in...
I have a question for you.
Yes.
You said that there are exactly soluble models in d equal 1. Does
yes.
that give you non-perturbative control over the fixed point?
Well, you already have your fixed point non-perturbatively. What the only problem
what you're
is that
because the beta function is exact.
It is exact.
The
yes.
exactly soluble are for lambda equals infinity. Lambda not.
Lambda equals
yes.
infinity.
Exactly.
Bring it finite,
yes. But this non-trivial fixed point exactly corresponds to lambda equal to infinity
yeah.
by the argument which...
Yeah.
So, and what... So, mean field gives 1 over t with a non-universal amplitude. The only problem here is that A is obtained as a result of epsilon expansion with epsilon equal to 1. So, don't try to use it in numerics, at least first two terms.
Right.
So,
right.
in here you get, again... the result of order 1. So here, the result which you get is given by mean field theory up to logarithmic corrections, and this is, again, due to the fact that our coupling constant, it goes to 0, but it goes to 0 logarithmically slow. Running coupling can be computed exactly, and it behaves as logarithm. So this is the result of d equal to 2, and mean field is...
And so there, what's interesting actually is the amplitude. amplitude.
Yes, the effective amplitude, it can be...
That should have something to do with the size of the particles, which is...
In my case, they are point...
The rug, so it, there's some UV cutoff that, that keeps its life in the...
You're amplitude. Absolutely right. You're absolutely right. So in D equal to 2, the theory, in D greater than 2, our theory, field theory, is not renormalizable. So all answers sit on a cutoff. And, this case, and in this case, R will explicitly depend on the, say, lattice spacing, on discrete.
So theoretically,
it's...
Actually, it's the whole idea, because particles in higher dimensions, they're not going to interact if they're actual points. So they have to have some size.
Yes.
So the size of the particles determines how...
Yes, and then you just restore the answer from dimensional arguments.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm wondering what is the correction to the equation, Smoluchowski, which corresponds to this.
Good question. Good question. So, no, it is... So, first of all, when we are talking about RG, we are talking about non-perturbative sums of diagrams. So, this is actually exactly what I'm thinking about right now. So, to the leading order, Smoluchowski equation changes. You have, so in a sense, you know more than you ask. So first of all, the statement is that at large times, effective Smoluchowski equation is still valid, but the coupling constant in the Smoluchowski equation is changed. It is changed to something like this. Okay. So, and what are one-loop corrections to this, I do not know yet. So, in other words, you can reproduce all these results by replacing Smoluchowski equation with a Smoluchowski equation with a different time-dependent kernel. Okay? And this is more or less reasonable, because this is still the reaction rate. This is still the reaction rate. But when you have only few particles, and most of the time your particles diffuse looking for each other, then the approximation of infinite rate of their coagulation is good. Therefore, you have only the geometric diffusive factor to determine your reaction rate. And you end up with a renormalized Smoluchowski equation. So, about one loop corrections to this one, I do not know, but I know reasons.
Another question. There are obviously more involved objects, like how the correlation.
Very good.
What about the distribution of charges, for example?
Distribution of charges,
and
yes.
That's one of the classic questions in this thing. Can you extract that
yes,
out of this?
Yes, absolutely.
And does it depend upon dimension, above 2?
So, above, I do not have.
I mean, Smoluchowski's original problem was in 3 dimensions. Have,
yes.
Of course, he would have liked to have had the diffusion coefficient.
Very good.
But
if we are sitting in dimension greater than 2, then large time limit is described by a Smoluchowski equation.
Yes.
So, which in principle you cannot solve because you cannot pull it to, but you have mass conservation,
yes,
and it fixes everything. Therefore, in dimensions greater than 2, large time asymptotics doesn't depend on anything but the total mass. Okay, so in D equal to 1, you really get corrections. But I've computed the distribution of masses as well. And as a final remark.
I didn't understand the answer.
But it doesn't depend. No, I've computed everything. So
no,
I.
The question is, so here you have, very strong deviation from mean field.
Yes.
Are you expecting a strong deviation from mean field for 2-point collision function?
Yes, yes, yes. So that's exactly one of the questions of research. So in a sense, 2-point function by mean field, I don't have an answer yet, no. But it's, the machinery is there.
But for 2 larger than 2, everything is okay at every order.
Yes, yes. You just see that, so your coupling constant now depends explicitly of your cutoff, but it is funny. Non-renormalizable theory are the simplest theory from the point of view of statistical physics. So, I've computed higher point functions, actually. In a special case, if we gave up this condition that lambda is equal to infinity, we can consider the limit when d goes to 0.
Okay. above, you mean less
infinity? About less infinity. If we gave up this condition, then we can consider this limit. It is, in a sense, aggregation in d equal to zero. So
d goes to infinity would be
d equal, when diffusion coefficient goes to zero, then it's right, effectively a zero-dimensional case.
Also, if d goes to infinity, also if d goes to infinity, it just makes everything.
If d goes to infinity, they diffuse equally everywhere.
That's right, which means that they're all just at the same point.
Yes.
They're basically all at the same point.
I see your point. It's the same limit.
They're homogeneous.
Good.
So,
in other words, thank you very much. So, I have the answers in the limit when d goes to zero and infinity, and these are the answers. So, you can compute n of t minus, say, n of t plus 4 minus n of t to the power n, this time-like structure functions. In this limit, Schrödinger equation becomes quantum mechanical and can be solved explicitly in terms of Gegenbauer polynomials. But the answer...
They're my favorite.
Good. This is the first time I encountered them in my life. So, and when time goes to infinity, this behaves as Cn of t tau. And you see, it is an extreme anomalous scaling, as in Berger's. It is very simple to escape. When time is large, then the only contribution which comes, major contribution which comes to this, which contributes to this correlation function, are events when you have just two particles in between moments of time t and t plus tau.
Right. Is it any dimension?
Oh, yes.
Because these limits.
Yeah. Because they are not interchangeable.
That's right.
That's it.
Let's applaud.